How are you, okay?
You're back at home.
I am home. Home for the week. Just look at these bad boys. Lightning McQueen Crocs.
They're nice.
Yeah. They're one of many.
Is that from
gifts.
Mum and Dad?
Yeah, Mum and Dad.
You a big Lightning McQueen fan?
My favourite, like, cartoon film, yeah. Definitely, Disney film. The first Cars is a piece of cinematography brilliance. It's beautiful. Story, everything.
Yeah. Wow, wasn't expecting this.
They didn't quite get the other two right, but the first one was...
I would say the weakest of the Pixar movies.
You'd say Cars is the weakest?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Okay, I quit. See you later. I'm not playing. See you later. Bye-bye. It's not fair. That's ridiculous.
Cameron Dawson's on today.
He is.
Talk to me. I think you love him.
I'm not even exaggerating when I say he's the best keeper I've ever seen play for Exeter City in my lifetime. By a country.
Really?
Yeah, by the best. There's probably a few other shouts in there, like we had what's it called? Ben Hamer played for us for a while, who went on to play in the Prem. He was really, really good. But Cam was like instrumental in our promotion season. Not last season, the season before. Played 45 times. He was brilliant. He had so many big moments. I was lucky enough to be on the radio for quite a few of those big moments. So it was, he's just brilliant. I love him. And I'm so happy he's getting game time at Sheffield Wednesday now, because he's super and he deserves it.
Pissed off that he went back?
Not at all. Not at all. Come here, do what you need to do, and go spread your wings. He's a Sheffield boy through and through. So can't blame him for wanting to go back home.
Yeah, fair dues.
It's scary how much I actually really, really love him.
Hey, do you feel nervous about meeting him? Have you met him?
Technically, I don't think he knows that we've been in the same vicinity. But the day we got promoted. I've got a lovely video of them all in the Heritage
shower. Lounge.
No, that's ridiculous. Why would I have them in the shower? Come on. When did we get promoted? God, I can't think now. So long ago it feels like.
2022, May or June 2022.
May or June. I'd quite like to show him this video.
I'm looking forward to talking to him, but a goalkeeper. A goalkeeper.
Yeah, well, it's you've got to be a madman to want to play in goal, don't you? No, oh yeah, there they are. April, look. So he's in this video here, dancing around. So I was lucky enough to go.
Where was that? In the Heritage Lounge.
Yeah, that's in the Heritage Lounge after we got promoted. So they're dancing around right by me there. But he probably
so
doesn't.
What was going on?
They're celebrating getting promoted.
Are they in the Heritage? That doesn't look like the Heritage Lounge
to
me.
Yeah, it's changed. So it's old. That's the old Heritage Lounge.
I hope they're respecting the place.
Yeah. I think they were celebrating with Kyle Taylor at that point, who had been out for the whole season. So yeah, I was fortunate enough to be in the room when all the players were celebrating when they got promoted. Not that Cam knows I was there, probably, but it was great.
I bet he does.
I bet he doesn't. I'm a nobody, aren't I, realistically, to him. He's played in some of the biggest games in Sheffield football. Saved the penalty in the Steel City derby a few seasons ago.
Played at Wembley.
We've got to talk about that. So, yeah.
He's here.
I'm so excited.
Nervous.
No, I'm so excited. This is brilliant.
Hello.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Cam.
Yeah, good. Thanks to you.
Great. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry, I'm 1 minute late. I was having a little panic about having to re-download Zoom and all sorts.
Well, lovely to have you on. We're a bit nervous, I think.
Yeah, we are a little bit nervous.
Surely not. Can't be.
Yeah. I've never seen John quite so giddy.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to talk everything about that infamous season, because you were brilliant. I've said this just before you came on, but you are the best keeper I've seen in my time at Exeter City by a country mile. And I think that was reciprocated in how the fans took you on, because they absolutely loved you and it was brilliant. You were so good.
You're not even looking at him, John.
I know. Yeah, the webcams. The thing is, I've got this.
You're like that.
I've been trying to build up like that as well. I don't know how I'm going to. I hope I live up to it on it. Jeez.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, you know, you're a fantastic goalkeeper. You're brilliant. You're brilliant for us. You really were.
He's got videos of you.
You won't remember. I think you might have had a couple of beers at this point. Oh, I've lost the video. I'll try find it
me
quickly.
Beers? That's surely not. It doesn't sound like me.
Well, it was in the
showers.
No, it wasn't in the showers.
No, it wasn't in the showers.
No, it was.
Is everything all right here, John?
After
Heritage
we got,
Lounge.
Yeah, it was in the Heritage Lounge after we got promoted. Here you are. Look, I think you're celebrating with Carl Taylor at this point because he'd just come back into the room. He was in crutches.
Oh, he was on crutches. I remember him coming in. Well, I say I remember him coming in briefly. Oh, what a night that was. Oof. What a hangover to follow, by the way.
Oh, that's brilliant.
How long were you extra for, Cameron? Because I joined halfway through that season.
I remember when this all started. I think I'd Sweden and MJ on early doors. But yeah, I joined at the start of that season. But it was literally 10 days before the start of the season. So I walked in. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know anyone. Travelled 250 miles down from Sheffield on a day's notice. And rock up and didn't know a soul. And at first, the old Exeter training ground, obviously the old cabins, you'll have seen it probably been. So I've rocked.
Shithole.
Well, yeah, basically, the long and short of it, absolute shithole, right. Yeah. I've rocked in there day one, and obviously, I mean, Sheffield Wednesday it's not Man United, but it's a bit better than a beat-up port.
All right, steady.
It's a bit better than a beat-up porter cabin. So I've rocked up there day one, into it, there's buckets out for leaks and all sorts.
Yeah, I remember the manager's office had when I went in, had buckets because there's leaks and stuff, and it is ridiculous.
And I just remember my first thought being, what have I done here? I was just like, I've travelled all this, what am I doing? And then, but honestly, it ended up being the best experience of probably my life and the best, you know, football-wise and life-wise, moving all the way down there. And it was just what a year.
When you started that season, did you think, did people think the squad was good enough to get them out of the league, or was it a surprise to everyone? Or
I think it had always been, from my point of view, what I felt was it had always been they wanted promotion and they felt like they could get promoted. This is Exeter as a club and probably the hierarchy. They felt like they could get promoted and they wanted it, but they didn't really need it in terms of they were. I felt like they were pretty sustainable at League Two level.
John's like that. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. See, this is the real world of football, David, that you don't know anything about.
But the squad, and as it grew, and it just sort of grew with time. At the start of the season, we had a tough start, actually. We didn't start great. Had a real tough start. Had a bad one down at Leighton Orient, second game of the season, 3-0 or something. But then as it went on, it just grew, and there was a lot of younger players that came into their own as the season went on, and then got a couple back from injury and just really, really grew with it and just basically rode the wave all the way in. And that's what it was. I think obviously you joined halfway through, but the feel-good factor that year was it was incredible.
I was lucky enough to commentate on the Bradford game, the first game of the season, that season where you pulled off that ridiculous double save, which is when I realised...
Yeah, it was offside. I can't believe the lineup put his flag up for the second one.
Yeah. But even then, it was a brilliant save. And I thought, you know, because Bradford are always in and around those at the top end of the table. And I thought, well, if we're giving them a good run for their money. And I think Nigel might have missed... Atangana might have missed a chance at the back post in that game. In the last minute. So I thought, we'd given him a good game, and then we went to Leighton Orient and got thumped, well and truly thumped. And I thought, oh God, we could be in trouble here. But I was lucky enough to commentate on both those games. And I remember thinking, what a contrast in like a space of a week. We went from looking brilliant to looking terrible. I think, did MJ miss a penalty at Orient, or was it Jev?
MJ missed the penalty. I think Sam Nombe had COVID. We were bare bones. We got absolutely hammered.
And Jack Sparks got really badly injured that day, didn't he?
Broke his collarbone, yeah. You forget all these things that went against us at the start of the season. I think that's what sort of made it the back end of the season, the sort of feel-good factor, and everyone came together because the start of the season had been so tough.
Yeah, that back end of the season, it really felt like we weren't going to lose the game. You know, you saved the penalty at Oldham, which I was lucky enough to be at, and that day I thought, Christ, even then, like we're on the back foot a bit, giving away a penalty, and we're still not going to lose. Like, it just did not feel like we were going to lose at any point. It was, like you said, the feel-good factor was the best I've ever seen it.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was just always different players stepping up at different times. I remember Stevenage at home, Sam Stubbs scored two goals from two corners.
Yeah.
And it was just, it always felt like Carlisle away, Pod, you haven't really played much football, popped up with a head. It always just felt like someone just stepped up at the right time.
Cameron, because I was new to sort of lower league football, at the, so we got promoted, and then you sodded off. I was like, oh, right.
Yeah, it's a strange old game, isn't it?
Is it? What's it like saying goodbye after that? Those achievements?
I was probably still half pissed when I was saying goodbye to everyone. So I don't think it really resonated really that with I was leaving. It's the business of football. We all know what we sign up for. I think we all probably knew that me being at Exeter was a 1 year only thing, and it was. And I think Matty had a little try to get me back, but I don't think Sheffield Wednesday were having any of it. It's sort of business behind football dictates that I was never going to be coming back, really, which is sort of a shame because you feel like you've done all the work to get into that league. It'd be nice to have a crack at that league. But then I ended up going back to Sheffield Wednesday and playing and getting promoted with them at Wembley. And that was an incredible feeling as well. So it ended up being amazing still for me last season, obviously not being Exeter, but still having the promotion feeling with Sheffield Wednesday.
What was that like playing at Wembley?
Yeah, that must have been.
It was incredible, honestly. I think it was we took the most fans from one team to a playoff game. I think it was 47,000 or something, Sheffield Wednesday fans or something. It was incredible. It just took over and we were staying on Wembley Way the night before, and just from the morning you could just see it just blue and white taking over.
Do you sleep the night before?
I do normally, but I didn't then.
But genuinely, did you not sleep? Because I can't even imagine having a big sporting event and then having to do it on like 2 hours sleep.
Yeah, so basically how it works is on the morning of a game, you wake up, and if you're away from home, you're in a hotel. So you have a breakfast option, which is normally optional, from like 8 till half 9, because then your pre-match meal's at half 11. So the breakfast is optional. So some lads sleep in and miss the breakfast and go straight to the pre-match meal. Most of the lads do that most of the time. And when we played at Wembley, breakfast normally ends at 2 or 3 lads there. I've been up since 5 o'clock in the morning. I woke up like ready to go. Yes, rolled over, looked at my phone. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking, oh no, I'm wide awake here. So then I'm like, gets to 8 o'clock. I'm like, right, I'll go down for some breakfast. I go down for breakfast at 8 o'clock. 16 out of the 20 lads are all there eating breakfast.
Oh, God, yeah. So no one can sleep.
Everyone's obviously all feeling the same thing. So that, yeah, it was a strange old feeling.
Have you ever, or like that day, did you walk onto the pitch and go, I'm knackered, actually, as it goes. I could do a little.
No, because the adrenaline is pumping. Oh. I can't believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the celebrations are never as good, like, in that game as you think. The celebration was better at Exeter because it was that night and then again and again. Because of the lack of sleep and adrenaline, then it all drains out of your body. After the game, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a right night, this. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, I hit a brick wall. I was asking the missus to take me, just go get, just honestly, just took me up in bed. I'm knackered.
Yeah. Wow.
It must be such a weird experience, because obviously you're in a privileged position where, like, you can speak about how it is to play from a really unique standpoint because you're on your own in between the sticks. And it's like, you know, everyone else can, you know, if someone makes a mistake outfield, someone can bail you out. But in goal, you can't, and you're in between. Like, what? Talk us through what it's like to go out at Wembley and be just that guy in between the sticks, knowing that you could cost your team not only the game, but a chance at promotion. All the other way, you know, be the hero.
Well, that's what you have to do. You sort of have to flip that and into sort of a point where I can be the hero today. And that's sort of flipping the mindset that way, rather than allowing the, if you allow the don't do anything, I always think if you allow the don't do anything wrong and the negative mindset to creep in, that's where the mistakes come from. Because you end up in a negative mindset, you make negative decisions, and that's where it comes from. Whereas if you flip it into a positive and more of a, right, I'm going to be the man today, it sort of helps you to make real positive decisions.
How hard or easy is that to do?
Incredibly difficult. And obviously, the higher up you go, the more fans, the more pressure. It obviously gets harder and harder. You can imagine that. Imagine the boys playing in the World Cup and things like that. They've got a whole nation, a whole nation looking at them and needing them to succeed, and they've got to deal with that. So that must be different level. But yeah, obviously the higher up you go, the harder it gets.
Cameron, could you play for England?
Could I?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd love
well,
to.
I don't know anything about goalkeeping or how good you've got. Like, what? Where can you get to as a goalkeeper?
I would never sit here and say I cannot play for England. I think at 28 years old now, I think that time has probably gone.
No.
Honestly. I think once upon a time, I was fortunate enough to play for England at youth level. That was an incredible experience.
Who was playing in that game? Anyone?
So I played with Jordan Pickford, actually, for the 19s. Yeah, we went to the...
Right, what's the difference between him and you, then?
at that time, I didn't think too much, but...
There you go.
I mean, the thing with Jordan is he played all the way through the leagues. They got him out on loan time. He played before he went into Sunderland's team. In the Premier League, he'd played maybe 150, 200 games in the Football League. And they were really good at managing that, and obviously he's done incredibly well. And his unique point is probably his footwork, his left foot. His left foot's top tip.
Yeah.
You see how he can land the ball wherever he wants it, and that's sort of his, I'd say, the unique side of his game. I'd say, but yeah, I mean, I think he's done brilliant, incredible. Like, I mean, what the whole team's done in terms of the national team, but him in general has been terrific.
But surely if you have a season where you save lots of goals... surely!
If I have a season where I save lots of goals, I might get a new contract, and I think that's as good as it's going to get.
Okay. Fair enough.
Cam, what was it like last season? Because obviously you didn't start for the first half of the season, and it's sort of that difficult. Talk us through what it's like to be that difficult role of, you know, not playing as a goalkeeper and that backup and knowing that you've got to take your opportunity when it comes.
That side of it was really tough. Obviously, I'd come off the successful season with Exeter with a real, you know, really high in confidence, a real good feeling. And there was, you know, and it's been reported, it's clear, you know, in the summer there was options of me moving on and going to numerous different places, which the manager at the time was not having. He wanted me to stay there and compete. At the time, I wasn't sure if it was going to be a competition, and I said that to him. We were open and honest with each other. This is Darren Moore I'm talking about. We were open and honest, and I said, look, I'm not sure this is a competition. I think you've brought David Stockdale in at the time to play, and I'm going to be his backup. And he was insistent that it was. It's 10-15 games of the season, I went again and I was like, Gaffer, what am I doing here, sort of thing. And he insisted again, no, you know, if the time comes, I'll put you in. And then eventually it happened and he put me in. And from what was the first half of the season, which was so frustrating, and me sort of thinking, what am I doing here when I could have been playing elsewhere, it ended up being the best decision ever to stay there and sort of bide my time, because then I got the experience at the back end of it of getting promoted out of League One with my boyhood club, which was, you know, an absolute dream, really, at Wembley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it like sitting on the bench then when you're not getting
horrible, horrible. Honestly, it's horrible, especially goalkeeping, because you know that as soon as that team's named, 99.9% of the time, your day's done, isn't it, really, as a goalie? You don't really come off the bench, so... It's really tough. I found it incredibly tough, especially on the back of coming from Exeter, where I was playing every week, and that was that. I found it really tough first off of the first bit of the season, and then yeah, got my head around it, knuckled down, and eventually worked my way into the team. But yeah, I'd say it's the worst position to be on the bench in as a goalkeeper, because you saw. Yeah. You can't see where your next game's coming from, or you just can't see where, you know, you're going to get in. And I'm not one of these that I'd never wish bad on the other goalkeeper that was playing. I can't. That's not me as a person. I couldn't do that. I couldn't sit there wanting them to fail. That's just not, it's not me as a person. So it's sort of a real tricky, I'd rather take myself fully out of the situation and go somewhere where I'm wanted to play.
And then when you are called upon, you're sort of not expecting it. You're sitting on that, you're like, oh, bloody, he's gone and injured himself. You've got to come on. Must be strange.
Yeah, I've come on off the bench quite a few times in my career, and it's a strange, strange feeling as a goalkeeper, especially because you're not, I think as an outfield player, you come on and run around and you get into the game. As a goalie, you come on and stand in your goal. And you're like, right, well, I'm in the game here, but I'm not really doing anything. And you just sort of, the hardest thing about being a goalkeeper, I think, is just being left with your own thoughts. You're just fighting your own thoughts.
What is that like? If you're playing a team where they're just not attacking the opposition, what are you thinking? What are you doing?
You're just talking to you. I'm just talking to myself all the time. And I do it. I do it at home. It's coming to my everyday life. I'm just at home talking to myself.
What are you saying?
What are you doing?
What are you saying between the post? What are you saying in the goal?
Just like, right, come on, switch on. You're going to have to, I'm like all the time, like, right, you're going to have to make one here. You're going to have to make a save, especially if the game's tight. I'm just all the way through. I'm like, be there when you need it. Be there. Be ready. Be ready. Move with it. Move with the team.
How often are you just going, oh, look, there's a pigeon? How often are you not
doing that? You do that. You're like, and someone will be talking nonsense in the crowd or something. You're like, what are they on about? And they're like, no, concentrate. There's a game going on here. There's always that one fan behind a goal chirping away, just absolutely.
That's what I was going to ask. How much do they give it to you?
Yeah.
Is it every game you hear it?
Yeah, a lot. It's like, if it's one of those games where you're in it and it's all action, you don't hear anything. But if it's one of them games where you're not really involved and the game's going on at the other end, you sort of hear everything and you're like, yeah, oh, it's horrible, honestly. And then sometimes you can't help yourself but have a little chirp back. And then you think, what am I doing that for? What am I doing?
Yeah,
concentrate.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many times when someone does chirp up do you go, oh, I just want to say something? Is it like every time do you think, oh, I could, you know, because you, There's a lot to pick apart about most football fans. You know, they're not exactly the most peak physical athletes.
Yeah, I think if I want a chip, I have a chip. But then I think you better not throw one in now.
You make a rod for your own back by giving it back.
I try to just get on with the job. But yeah, like you say, sometimes there's just that one who you can't help yourself. But
what about when they do the chant that you're shit at?
That has no effect whatsoever. It's a pointless thing. You're still at the end of your run-up to take a goal kick, and then you can hear them go, and like, it has no effect whatsoever.
What about when you slip and you take that, you know, you take that goal kick and you slip and you get the way? Does that get
that is horrible, bit? That. You do feel like an absolute tit when that happens.
So it has no effect, that chant?
No, your shit has absolutely no effect. If any football fan listening, yeah, but they want to carry on doing it,
sounds good.
Sounds great, has no effect.
Yeah, we'll get that passed around. We won't waste our breath doing that one anymore.
Yeah. That's good.
How much are your gloves, Cameron?
Yeah, they're expensive. I'm fortunate to have a nice sponsor that look after me. Sells goalkeeper products, little shout out.
Yeah, get it.
How expensive are goalkeeping gloves?
Over 100 quid.
Why?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot, really, isn't it?
You've got to buy boots and gloves.
Considering my glove sponsor doesn't overly listen to this, but I probably play two games, maximum three games in a pair of gloves.
Wow. Why?
Because then they've gone, I feel like they've gone past optimum.
Wow. How often do you go for a boot?
It always gets a shock, that one, when I tell, obviously, people that are not. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it sounds like bollocks, that's why.
Yeah, but from my point of view, I'm out there in front of the fans. If I feel like my tools are not at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go down the route of bad workman blames his tools. I never blame them, but I've got to be fully confident in everything I use. So that's where that comes from. But yeah, it always gets a little shock, that one.
What's your boot situation like, Cam? Is it like, do you go through them quickly as well? Or
No. Boots, I'm happy two or three, maximum four a season.
Four seasons still, you know. Well, I don't know if that's a lot for it. What?
Yeah, but you're training every. They do wear out. Yeah. Training every in, especially in the winter when it's wet and they're getting wet every day and then drying. And
how cold do you get?
Oh, it's horrific, honestly.
What, in the middle of a game? Are you cold?
Not necessarily in a game because you've got a bit of adrenaline in there, but on train, like my job is basically to dive around in puddles and mud and like it's when you actually break down what I do on a daily basis, it's horrific. But you have to find a way to love it, and that's why goalkeepers are just all a bit mad, really.
And have you always been a goalkeeper?
I didn't go in goal till I was about 13.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't join an academy till I was 15. Yeah.
So when you first went in goal, were you a natural? Did people go, oh, he's got something straight away?
I don't know. Because when you're only young at that age, aren't you? You don't really know. At 13, you're just sort of riding with it, aren't you? I don't know. But my dad played in goal, so he sort of kept me out of goal for as long as he could. Because he'd obviously experienced it and knew it was the worst position on the pitch by an absolute country mile.
Is it?
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it?
I quite like the goalkeeper because you're on your own.
Yeah, I know, but I obviously love it to bits. But I do think I'd say all goalkeepers are just frustrated strikers, really, aren't they? I think.
Oh.
Yeah. I think because you can't have that feeling at that end of the pitch. They all go to the other end of the pitch and.
Yeah, but what about when you do a diving save? Do you think that felt fantastic?
Yeah, when you make a good one, you're like. Goalkeeper, you're like, yeah, I've cracked it here. and then 2 minutes later, you let one through your legs, and you're like, ah, it's not as easy as I thought.
Cam, when you make like a ridiculous save and you go out and shout at your defenders, how much is that for show?
I try not to do that because whenever other goalkeepers do that, I think, oh, turn it in, will you? I try not to do it, but sometimes you get pumped up and you're like, you can't help yourself. It's like an out-of-body experience. For us, that's like scoring a goal, isn't it, really? You see some of the idiot celebrations people do when they score goals.
Yeah.
So I really consciously try not to do that because whenever I'm sat at home watching football and a goalie makes a save and does that, I just instantly think, what are you doing? Because at the end of the day, you're only doing your job, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's your job. Your job's to make a save. So when you make one, you don't need to go and run into the edge of your box shouting and screaming and throwing your arms around, do you? But occasionally, it does happen.
If you were the goalie, though, that did some body popping after you did a good save, I'd be like, oh, brilliant, we've signed him.
Would you like that?
Yeah.
Maybe it's... I'm going to have to bring you in.
Bloody love that.
That's only David that would like that. No one else would like it.
It's going to be 10,000 people that think I'm an absolute clown.
I reckon people would love it. Here he goes. He's doing the caterpillar. Here we go.
Oh, dear.
What have you got in your bag, Cameron, when you put it in the back of your... in the net? Have you got a bag?
Oh, God.
I thought everyone had a little handbag.
Are we going back to 1950 when every goalkeeper had a bag in the back of the goal?
Do they not have a bag?
I didn't even know that was a thing. That's how long ago it was. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I thought goalkeepers had a little bag.
No, what you take out... happen. Little towel? Have you got a little towel?
Puma bag.
I like a big towel. I don't like a little towel. Oh, okay. I like proper towel to hang through the goal.
Yeah.
And a bottle of water. We don't need to complicate things with a bag, do we?
Yeah, there is no need for a bag.
Ex-goalkeepers, they used to take like 7 pairs of gloves out in a bag of them. I'm like, what are you doing? You can only wear one.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, the question went down like a sack of shit, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm used to that. I'm going to live with that. Here's another. I've got a good question here. You're in goal. Well, that's obviously a given. But you've got a 6'3" muscle man striker coming towards you with the ball. At any point, are you fearful of diving in for the ball? Are you thinking about your own safety?
No, I'm thinking, come on then, let's have it.
Oh,
no
you?
Way. Yeah. That's such a mental mindset to be in.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. You must have been in some hefty one-on-ones in your time, some big.
You know, I don't mind those ones because if I can see it coming, I've got a chance. He's trying to leave one on me, isn't he? Really, let's have it right. But if you can see it coming, I've got a chance to leave one on him as well. I hate the ones where just something, knees, elbows, something, just something that is going to just not brutally hit him, but just make him aware that I've come out on top of that one.
I had no idea this is what was standing between the sticks when I was watching Exeter.
But it's the ones where, like, you're going up for a cross and they just dig you in the ribs and things, you know, where you can't defend yourself. Those ones wind me up.
Is that a difficult skill coming for the crosses? It's the hardest part.
Part of goalkeeping, yeah. Yeah, because you've got so many things to consider. You've got ball flight, wind, rain, people coming across you, your vision getting impaired. And then at the point that you're going to catch it, you've got the thought of someone coming and taking your legs or jabbing you in the ribs or just wiping you out. So it's the part of goalkeeping where you've got the most things to calculate in your brain. Because if you save a shot, you're just like, right, that's there. I've got to dive. Off we go. But for crosses, there's so much going on.
How much of it, Cam, is like, you know, you could train all you want, but how much of it is just like, you've got to have the right instincts and have the right... Because, like, you know, those one-on-ones or those ones where you see the ball late, how much can you really, you know, train and prepare for those or deflected shots?
It's just having that instinct and having that sort of belief where every time someone's got the ball around you and they're sort of pulling the trigger to shoot, I sort of try and have a mindset of, go on then, shoot. I want you to shoot. I don't want someone to, I want you to shoot because I'm going to save it. And it's sort of like having that attitude rather than having an attitude of, I hope someone blocks it, or I hope someone's going to make a tackle for me, or I hope someone's going to clear it. Like, for me, you've got to have a mindset of, no, I'm going to, come on then, I'm going to get the better of you.
That's such a crazy mindset. If it was me, I'd be thinking, please, someone block it. I don't want to do anything here. Get me as least busy as possible.
Yeah.
Are most professional footballers, are they like that? They just want it. Well, I can imagine being put in that situation, like John said, just wanting to run a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an inbuilt confidence.
It's part of the makeup, isn't it? I think it's part of the... And some don't have it and still get through and are really gifted in other ways and they sort of stay away from all that. So there is a way through for people that don't have that, but you have to have something about yourself, whatever that is, to sort of get through. Because, you know, some of the younger lads at Exeter, for instance, was some of the nicest kids you could ever wish to meet. Like, honestly, like, I've not got kids yet, but if I had a daughter, I'd want them to marry someone like Josh Key or Harry Kai, like, nicest kids in the world. But they had it in sort of a different way. They had sort of this, they worked the socks off, you know, they followed instructions so well, they could put the game plan into action, and they sort of had that side of it, which was incredible, along with an incredible amount of talent. But someone like Josh Key, Jesus, incredible.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, and as well, like, for me down at Exeter, like, Archie Collins never got the credit he deserved. He was absolutely incredible. Like, he churned out game after game after game, and every single game he was a 7 out of 10. He was an absolute dream to play with. You just knew you could chuck him out on the pitch, and it performed exactly like he did last week, and it'll go again next week for you.
Touching on your time at Exeter, Cam, at what point did you think, yeah, we could do this? We could really genuinely do this, because you missed one game in the whole season, which was Rochdale. In a 1-1 draw, so that is a ridiculous amount of games to play. At what point do you think, yeah, this is happening?
I remember saying to Brownie in the warm up at Newport away that if we win today, we're up.
So that was the 4th of February. That was you was thought that, was we're it? Up.
What?
What was it that early?
Yeah, we played Newport the 1-0 win where Tim Dieng scored.
Yeah, was that 4th of Feb?
4th of Feb, yeah.
No, surely not.
Yeah, the 4th of February 2022.
That's a bit overconfident, isn't it?
Well, to be fair, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games left at that point.
Yeah, I remember thinking, not we're up, but if we win today, we will get promoted. It was that. But then we got in after the game and every other bloody team had won. And we and then, was it after that we went to Carlisle, I think?
Yeah, so then after Newport was Carlisle away, which was Podge's last minute header.
Yeah, and then I thought, right, we are really onto something here.
We then beat Colchester at home, and then I went to Tranmere away that season when we got turned over. And at that point, I remember thinking, oh dear, maybe it's not on. Maybe we're not going to do it.
You and me both, because Yeah,
really? Was it in the squad? Was it like, oh god, if we keep, you know?
No, we were awful that day, like awful, and we just got bullied. They beat us up, and I was so angry after the game because I remember
was this away or at home?
Away.
We got beat away. They absolutely did a job on us, and I think me being from up north and growing up at Sheffield Wednesday, it was sort of inbuilt in me that if a team wants to come and football us off the pitch and pass us off the pitch, then fair enough. But I don't like getting beat up physically, and I just felt like we got beat up. But the exit away is sort of at that time because we had so many young players and that we couldn't accept getting footballed off the pitch. But we accepted that physically we've got so many young lads in the team. Occasionally, a team full of, I mean, a 38-year-old or something, whatever it is, Peter Clark at the back, just heading bricks all game. I think the exit away was sort of to accept that sometimes you are going to get beaten up. But I've struggled to comprehend that. And the Tranmere game, I remember thinking, oh no, surely if we play like this for the rest of the season, we're in trouble.
Did Matt Taylor tell you off? Not you, but...
No,
did he?
Me and Matty Taylor had a few crosswords after that game.
Really? Oh, lovely.
There's only one man wins there, and obviously Matty Taylor won.
So then, after that Tranmere game, everybody's thinking, God, are we going to do it? Then, unlike Exeter City, historically, we bounced back with a 2-0 win at home to Rochdale, which seems pretty comfortable on the day. That's the day that David found a love for his little tricky winger that Rochdale had. I can't remember his name. Was it
Oddo?
Oddo, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but they were good for the first 20 minutes, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
First 20 minutes, and then they just we scored and they just went under, I think. But they had a right go early on. I remember that.
Then the following Tuesday, we played Barrow at home, which was obviously the day that we sealed it up. You know what? Talk us through what that day was like.
Did I score an own goal that day? I can't think
you,
I did. Did
you? I think you might have done off the post from a horrible long throw. It bounced awfully in the box. I think was it Josh Key or someone missed the header?
Stubbsy and Tim Dieng jumped into each other, or Stubbsy and someone jumped into each other, missed the header. I've then dived for the for the throw and missed it. It's come back off the post and hit me on the back and gone in.
And so again, like I was fortunate enough to be on comms that day, and I remember thinking, oh dear, that's the most Exeter City goal we could ever concede, and that's what's going to stop us like having a party tonight. And in the end it wasn't. When that goes in, what are you thinking? You must be thinking, what?
I'm thinking, oh no, surely not. But then the goal we scored was just as bad, really. It took a
horrid
Kieran
deflection.
Phillips had a shot from about 40 yards and it took a horrible deflection. And then obviously, it was written in the stars for MJ, and it was so pleasing that it was him, really. And then, just the celebrations that followed.
Because the whistle went, didn't it, from your goal kick, and everybody was sort of already on the pitch. I don't know if you noticed, you must have noticed at the time.
Yeah,
everybody
I knew the ref was going to blow, but I knew I was never going to get this moment again. So I took as long as I could for this goal kick.
When you knew who's, because I think didn't he say to a couple of the players like this goal kick and I'm going
to
blow?
He told Swedes, and then Swedes give it to the big bang behind, like, and they come on and all this, and then they all started piling onto the edge of the pitch, and I just remember thinking, right, take your time and just whatever you do, make sure you kick this as far as you can. And then literally I kicked it and just got engulfed.
And what's that like? What's that like when
it's obviously an incredible feeling, but there's tunnels all the way down the other end. I was in front of the big, and when I got to the tunnel, I could hardly breathe. You know, for everyone like jumping on you and that, I was honestly so out of breath.
And it was, did the Tops Off lads hug you?
They don't want what?
There's some men called the Tops Off lads that never wear tops. Do they hug you?
They may have done. I don't know.
You'd know.
I've never heard of the Tops Off lads. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah. They're infamous in
the Exeter City.
They're
always by your goal.
Right by the goal. At that point, when they come onto the pitch, what's going through your head? Enjoy it or get me to safety?
Enjoy a bit of it, but...
Because you were on someone's shoulders at one point. If you look at the sky footage, you're getting lifted up by City fans.
I've got the picture of that, and I've got like it on a what's it called, where they do like a print,
a canvas,
a canvas, that's the one,
yeah,
of that picture of me on someone's shoulder. It's a great picture.
Brilliant.
But yeah, someone picked me up, put me on the shoulders, and then I looked over and all my family were there, so I just, I couldn't, so I looked over and seen them, and a couple of my mates came down. So yeah, that was more the thing, just to see them. They're for me, when you have success like that, there, that you want to see your teammates and you want to enjoy it. But for me, I'd spent a year away from home, on the road, and I wanted to sort of see them and be with them, and sort of they came in the lounge after and have a drink with them, as well as being with all the teammates like we were. I think me and Sweens ended up in a kebab shop somewhere. But
yeah, I was going to say, how battered did you get? And where did you end up?
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, I remember being in. I remember being in some club.
Is it Timepiece you ended up
in? No, after that, we'd left there.
Vaults?
I was in there.
Yeah.
And I just stood at the bar, and people were coming up to me, top like all night, hugging you, wanting to chat to you. And I couldn't speak. You know, like when you can hear the noise coming in, couldn't get anything out. And I'm thinking, no, it's
because you're hammered.
It's time to go home now, isn't it? Like, I was just there in body at the end. And then my mate was like, come. Got me in a taxi, get yourself home. But then I was a bit disappointed, really. I wanted to go again on Wednesday, but I couldn't really find it, mate.
What, yeah. Fancy another night at Vault?
No one really fancy. I think Jeff probably did.
Yeah, I saw. I was going to say, Jeff went live on Instagram. I don't think he slept from the night, because he went live on Instagram drinking champagne at about 9 in the morning. So he was certainly on it. Obviously, then we go to Northampton and draw 1-1, and then you've got a chance to win the league. What's going through your head after Northampton? Are you all in, like, fully confident that you're going to get the job done? Or
it's such a strange feeling, that, because we've done what we've set out to do,
yeah,
and we've set out to get promoted and we've done it and it's done, but then there's still this chance of winning the league, and we all want to win the league, but the job's done.
But how arsed are you, really? Are you thinking, oh, if it happens, it happens?
Yeah, I, you know, at the time, I didn't think I was arsed.
I felt exactly the same way that you just described.
No, I didn't think I was arsed, but I felt like we'd job done. But that feeling when the full-time whistle went against Port Vale was horrible, you know.
Yeah, I remember thinking, oh, I'm not bothered. Going into Northampton, oh, we got a chance, I'm not bothered. And then, like you said, the full-time whistle went, you think, I might not get a chance to see us win the league ever again.
Yeah.
And maybe for yourself, maybe not get a chance to play in a title winning side again.
And I just feel like that side and the manager and the staff, because they were brilliant, by the way. They were brilliant. All the staff, the manager, fantastic. And I just feel like that group of players with that staff should have had champions next to the name. And that's the only sort of, it's not even a negative. It's the only sort of thing that I think would have just absolutely topped that year off for me, really.
So I think you had, did you have 18, 19 clean sheets that season?
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
I think it says on here 18, but I thought it was 19. And obviously everybody thought you were going to be set on to be, you know, goalkeeper of the season in League Two. And I think you were robbed of that a little bit. Was that ever in your mind? Is that like a nice thing to personally win, or were you not really too bothered?
It was never something. Promotion was in my mind, and I felt like going down there, I had to get promoted to get back to where I wanted to be, and felt like, not felt like I should be, because that's a sense of entitlement, but felt like I could be playing higher up, and I felt like to get back to where I wanted to was, I had to get promoted. So that was sort of my aim, and when that happened, that sort of made me feel like what I'd done for the year was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. Because at the time, there was people telling me that maybe I shouldn't go on loan to Exeter because I had 3 years left on my contract at Sheffield Wednesday. And what if it didn't work out at Exeter? Then what? Then where do you go? So, but I was very much of the mindset of, no, I'm going to go down there and prove that, you know, I can do it, and I'm going to do it, and we're going to get promoted, and I'm going to get my career back on track. So yeah, that sort of promotion side of it was massive for me. But Yeah, I mean, I'd have loved to have gone down to London and get me whistle and flute on and bow tie and all that. But it wasn't to be. So I think, I don't know who won it. I can't even remember.
I think it was the Northampton keeper that season. I can't remember his name.
No, it wasn't him either, because I remember thinking if it was him, fair enough.
Oh, really?
He was brilliant, to be fair.
Was it Vigouroux that won it? It might have been Vigouroux.
No.
I can't remember who won it.
The Swindon fella.
Oh, not too familiar.
Wallacott.
Oh, was it Wallacott? Wow. Interesting. No, I think everyone thought, yeah, I think all City fans thought you were robbed of that, because that's the least you deserved. You're one of the main reasons we went. I mean, 18 clean sheets is silly. It's ridiculous.
Can I just stick a light on? It's getting a bit dark in here.
There we go.
There we go.
It was overly impressive.
I've been to two away games, Cameron. One was Plymouth, which is just up the road. The other one was Sheffield Wednesday last year. And watched Exeter, Sheffield Wednesday. And that stadium's incredible.
It's some place, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's some place. It's some club that, you know, I feel really fortunate. I've had, you know, back-to-back promotions to one with, and honestly, it was an incredible experience, Exeter. And then to come back to my boyhood club and get promoted at Sheffield Wednesday, just honestly just feel so privileged to have had the two experiences.
You got a really good reception from the Exeter fans as well that day. I didn't
What?
Were you booing?
Yeah, big time.
No, and yeah, like I said, it was not. I think you came over, clapped us, and it was great.
That's also a bit, it's also a strange one, Matt, because I'm really grateful for the way I was treated at Exeter. Like, I was taken in and loved by everyone, and I'm so grateful for that. But I'm also now in direct competition with you. I'm playing against you, and I've got 25,000 Sheffield Wednesday fans that I'm now representing you. So it's,
they can see through you, Cameron. They can see through you.
So I wanted to make sure I acknowledge the Exeter fans, and but I had to make sure I didn't go too over the top, because I'm now, it's a strange old strike.
Didn't think you did enough, to be honest with you.
Right.
Not quite.
Point taken. Hopefully I'll get another chance.
What is it like playing for your boyhood club every week? Because that must be a privilege, but also like a horrible amount of pressure. It must feel 10 times worse when you lose and, you know, 10 times better when you win.
Yeah, it was really tough at the start. And as a young lad, something that I probably struggled with a bit, due to you sort of growing up in the city, having all my mates, and it was sort of my life, and it took over a little bit. And that's where I started off really well and had some really good times. And then sort of hit a bit of a brick wall and had a bit of a tough time, and then an injury. And then that's when, on the back of that, I came down to Exeter. So that's when I came down to Exeter, I needed to sort of pick myself back up and go again and regroup. And that's what Exeter gave me. And then when I went back to Sheffield Wednesday, I think I'd improved slightly as a goalkeeper, but it was more the mental side of it that I was able to then sort of compartmentalise my life a little bit and get everything in order and sort of go about it in a way that suited me and was going to get the best out of me, rather than it being all consuming like it was before.
It's amazing that you ended up playing for your boyhood club. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's
isn't
like
it?
Dreams, but like, you know, people. Yes, it is crazy. It's so good. Yeah.
So you're a big Sheffield Wednesday fan, so you're obviously up for doing our Sheffield Wednesday quiz.
Oh no! I am shocking at quizzes.
I can't believe he sprung this on you last minute.
Onto the leaderboard.
Oh no.
So comedian Tom Rosenthal was head of the leaderboard with 6 points. Tom Parry, comedian, got 3 points. Lloyd Griffith was
disqualified.
Disqualified. So are you up for doing our quiz?
I am, but what were their quizzes on?
Grimsby, Arsenal and
so their clubs.
Wolves.
Yeah.
I'm not great at finding quizzes online, so bear with me.
He's hopeless. Every week he's absolutely hopeless.
You get what you're given.
Has Sweden's done an Exeter quiz, by the way?
No, we need to get him on for that.
Because as long as I beat him, then...
Do you still keep in contact with a lot of the boys?
I suppose Sweden's like that.
But I'll keep score.
Let's see if we can get you on the leaderboard.
How many questions?
Too many. Right, 16.
Okay. Oh, God. Come on, then.
Way too many.
Right, I'll keep score over here.
Question one. What year was Sheffield Wednesday... have I got the answers?
1867, I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. Correct! Here we go.
Right, there we go. Off the bat, Cam. Love it.
What is the name of Sheffield Wednesday FC's stadium?
Hillsborough.
Ooh.
Hillsborough Stadium.
Correct. Who was Sheffield Wednesday's first ever manager? Was he Jimmy McMullen, Billy Walker, Robert Brown, or Arthur Dickinson?
Arthur Dickinson.
He's absolutely flying.
He's three out of three.
What was the final score against Manchester United in the 1991 Football League Cup final? 2-0, 2-1, 1-0, 3-2.
1-0.
This is ridiculous. He's flying.
You know what? I need to get a couple wrong because you're making me look like the biggest Sheffield Wednesday groupie.
Nerdy.
It's 4 out of 4.
Which player has the most appearances for Sheffield Wednesday? Jack Brown, Alan Finney, Kevin Pressman, Andrew Wilson.
Kev Pressman.
Wrong. Andrew Wilson.
Back in the goalie union.
4 out of 5.
Who was it? Andrew Wilson.
Didn't know it. Which player historically scored 6 goals against Norwich in 1938? Jimmy Trotter, David McLean, Douglas Hunt, Harry Chapman.
A.
Did you say A?
Yeah.
Jimmy Trotter is wrong. It was Douglas Hunt.
Right.
1938 is a ridiculous question. Yeah. How is he meant to know that?
Born in 95.
Which of these players did Sheffield Wednesday pay the highest transfer fee for? Benik Afobe, Gabriel Agbonlahor, Junior Agogo, or Jordan Rhodes?
Jordan Rhodes. Record.
Correct.
Wow. Player, by the way.
Which team is considered the club's oldest and fiercest rivals?
Christ.
That's a shocking question, isn't it? Come on.
Yeah. We'll give it a mark for that one. We'll
correct.
Give it a mark.
What jersey number does Julian Bornaire wear for the club?
What did he wear?
11, 12, 13, 14.
He wore 13.
Yeah.
I didn't play with him. I didn't play behind him. He's played centre off. He's the number one.
What nationality is Kevin Pressman?
English.
Correct. Who scored the winning goal for Sheffield Wednesday in the 1991 Football League Cup final? Danny Wilson, John Sheridan, Paul Williams, David Hurst.
John Sheridan.
Yeah.
That's played him, Sheridan.
Yeah, right. is that the gaffer? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was Sheffield Wednesday's shirt sponsor in the 2011-2012 season? Chancery, Plusnet, Volkswagen, Honda.
2010-11 Plusnet.
Wrong. Volkswagen, just to let you know, I am the voice of Plusnet. Thank you.
Are you? There you go.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, big time. What is
shout out Plusnet there on the bottom.
Yeah, shout out for Plusnet.
Yeah, big advertisement there. Jeez.
Yeah. I'm the voice of Plusnet. Thank you. What is the attendance capacity of Hillsborough Stadium? 39,729. 39,730, 39,731, 39,732.
It's actually neither of them anymore. When was this?
It must be the year that Bornaire played because.
Yeah.
That was an out of date quiz.
Yeah, the lowest one.
Wrong. 39-7-3-2. Okay. How many points did Sheffield Wednesday... Oh, God, this website's 15 years old, isn't it?
So we've committed to it now.
Yeah, we're in. I'm fully invested.
How many points did Sheffield Wednesday finish with in the 2011-2012 season? 93, 94, 95, 96.
Ooh. 2011 What are the options?
93, 94, 95, 96. 93. Correct.
Get up. Great answer.
Two more questions. True or false? Sheffield Wednesday have never won the FA Cup.
False.
Correct. And the final question. How old is Barry Bannon?
Where's that question come from?
But if it's made it too far, you've got to think of how old he was in 2012.
No. Now. How old is Barry?
Is this one of yours you've added from the end?
Yeah. Because we only had 15 in that.
He is.
How old is Barry?
He's 33.
He is. How many has he got?
Right, we've got. Let me count up. Do you want it? I'll give you a little drum roll. Let me count them up.
That's easily atop the leaderboard.
Okay, so after a brilliant display, I can confirm that Cam Dawson got a whopping 12 points on the My New Football Club quiz.
Wow.
Super.
What's the next? That's got to be top, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, second is six.
You've just doubled the best score.
Yeah. Cameron, I've got to bring something up, actually. I've got to bring something up. About 18 months ago, bearing in mind I was brand new to all I was looking at was the Premier League for 30 years, Man United. Anything below six, I was just like, who are they? So going into lower league, I didn't know anyone. Sheffield Wednesday were mentioned, and I just said flippantly, who the fuck's Barry Bannon?
Big mistake. Big mistake. I put him in his place.
Did he call you out on it?
He came onto Instagram. And I went, I sort of acted like it. And I said, would you come on the pod? And he never replied. So I now think he hates me. Please.
Do you need me to smooth it over for you?
Can you give him a hug from me, please? Rob Beckett was taking the piss out of me, then Barry Bannon came on in the sort of thread, and then
how did Baz get involved in that conversation?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Oh dear.
He's sort of embarrassing. How good is he actually?
Is he incredible?
Yeah.
Top tier. It's in possession. He must be one of the best in the league. I think obviously physically he's only little, isn't he? So out of possession. You know, not as good, but in possession, incredible. What he can do with the football is really. But even out of possession, he works so hard. He runs his socks off every game. You know, for what he gives up physically, he runs his socks off. But his main attributes are with the ball. I think low center of gravity, he can just twist and turn out of any situation and. Then spray diags and makes it look easy a lot of the time when it's definitely not.
What's he like as a leader, Cam? Because obviously from the outside looking, he doesn't look like the most vocal or loud or intimidating. But is he a good captain?
Yeah, maybe not intimidating, but he's definitely vocal. He's loud. He's been there a long time and knows how the club works and runs. So he's not vocal. He is vocal, I'd say. But as well leads by example and the performances he puts on the pitch. I think he's been a consistent performer for a lot of years for Sheffield Wednesday. So I'd say that's sort of him in a nutshell, really. But yeah, obviously, really for the service he'd given the club to be able to lift that trophy at Wembley last year. Was really, really nice for him.
Cameron, we'll let you go. Can we ask you a couple more questions before we... So, goalkeepers like Onana and Ederson with the ball at their feet, how good are they compared to outfield players?
I think Ederson is different level to anyone with the ball at his feet. I don't think an Arnold
could. Could he play outfield
in Brazil training? They make him play as an outfielder, don't they? In the training, I've seen clips of him playing in like the little tight games, and he isn't playing goal. He plays as an outfielder.
I think he's the only one that could do it at top.
Even an Arna?
No. And Arna's good, but Edison's different. Edison's got everything. His short game, his long game, his maybe an Arna. Edison definitely. He's different, but honestly, the bullet, how does he do it? He like takes a one step run up and kicks it the length of the Etihad and plays Haaland in. Like, how do you do that? How do you have that much power?
When you played with Jordan Pickford, did he have that at a young age?
Power, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I think Jordan's a bit different in terms of his long games, really. Edison's got everything. He's got everything. Honestly, how does he make it look so easy?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I'm a big Alisson fan as well, but Alisson isn't as good with the ball at his feet. But I think Alisson's probably better with his hands.
Right.
I think Edison looks a bit sexier, doesn't he? Like with his way he moves.
It's all about, for me, it's all about that. You've got to have the tats.
You all for that sexier look.
He looks hard as nails. So, yeah. I wouldn't want to go anywhere near Edison. As Alisson, I'd quite like to give a hug to Alisson, but Edison
I reckon he'd give a really good hug.
Yeah. Yeah. Like big embrace.
Oh, yeah. Lovely hug.
Yeah.
Final question. Unless you've got one, John.
No, you go on, you ask it.
You'll like this, John.
Okay.
Do you or would you ever come back down to Exeter?
Lovely question.
Yeah, great question.
Is that the final one?
Yeah.
Absolutely, I would.
Good. Goodbye.
Absolutely I would. I love my time. I love living down. It's pretty well. What a place to live. It's fantastic. I come from up north. You get scowled at by everyone. Walk into the co-op in Devon and everyone wants to talk to you and be nice and help you, and it's just full of lovely people, lovely place. Obviously Exeter was brilliant to me in terms of the football club, so yeah, absolutely I would. But you know, whether everything, there's so many things have to fall into line for it to actually happen.
Well, you've got to really want to, Cam, for starters, so that's where it starts.
Well, is that where it starts?
That's where it starts.
I'd love to come back at some point. Definitely, I'd love to come back at some point in my career. When that is, I don't know yet. But I'd love to pull on that jersey again in front of the Big Bank. The Big Bank's such a strange, such a big stand of all. It was strange because.
In what way?
Because the stadium's not that big or not that awful. It's missing down one side. But
tell me about it.
It creates such an amazing atmosphere. It's strange. And I think it's probably the Big Bang, the all standing aspect and that side of it. But yeah, it was strange because I remember first time tipping up there thinking, where's half the stand gone? And then.
Tell me about it.
First game of the season thinking, God, they make some noise though, don't they? Yeah, but we lose a few footballs over there, don't we?
Crazy.
My stand makes no noise.
Do you sit in that? Do you sit in the Adam Stansfield stagecoach one?
Yeah,
nice and cosy. Yeah, loads of old men.
Where all the nice people sit.
Yeah, we're lovely.
Yeah, he's got hard boiled sweets, David, and sits there.
Yeah, just love all that.
Boring.
Yeah,
Big Bang's the place to be.
Yeah, 100%.
I got my dad on the Big Bang for the last game of the season.
Wow.
Did you?
He loved it.
Quality.
Yeah.
Yeah, loved it. Brilliant.
Thank you so much, Cameron, for coming on. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Thanks for reminiscing about the good old.
Yeah. Thanks for your time at City as well, because like I said before, I'm not lying or blowing smoke up your arse. You are the best keeper I've seen play for Exeter City, and you gave me one of the best years of my life watching football, so, and you were part of the squad, so thank you, because it was great.
That's very kind of you. It was a pleasure to be part of.
Cheers, Cam.
Thanks, Cam.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
And good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah, good luck.
Cheers. Thank you.
And send my love to, genuinely, please send my love to Barry.
Absolutely.
Cheers. See you later.